Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Will Chambers in for Sean. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday morning in a newsworthy 24 hours for both the Mavericks and the Cowboys. And so a good time to talk as we do every day. At this point, with Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter, our dual insider with both of those squads. So, Fish, let's start with the Mavs. Where are we at right now with this team?
Yeah, I don't think you can count on anything except for the NBA's insistence that they plow forward. And as I said last night on Nosebleeds, I predicted at the beginning of the NFL season that knowing those 32 bulls in a china shop, that we do, that nothing was going to stop the NFL from playing, COVID-related. No fans in the stands, bigger rosters, build bubbles over the stadiums, everybody live at the Omni. It's just, think about it. Think about those people that are worth $1 billion and how they've lived their life, how they've achieved their $1 billion, and then what they've done after they've achieved their $1 billion. Who tells them no, RJ Choppy?
Nobody,
no,
actually.
Nobody.
Not a single
nobody.
Person.
So, I mean, we can use Mr. Jones as an example, or we can use any of the other ones as an example. Once you're worth $1 billion, you get your way. You get your way with the government, which is why the owners in California are so troubled by what that darn governor was doing to him. How dare you, governor? How dare you tell us that we can't do whatever we want to do? And, of course, in a lot of states.
They just moved here.
Frankly, pardon me?
They just moved here.
Well, yeah, really. In a lot of states and most places, that billionaire has some sway with that governor, does he not?
Mm-hmm.
And gets his way. And this is a long, but I hope informative way of trying to say there's a reason back in the day I asked Jerry Jones, this must have been 1990, and he was friends with, Choppy, you're a political animal. You'll remember Clayton Williams, the gubernatorial candidate in Texas?
Vaguely remember the name because his first name was Clayton.
There you go. So Clayton Williams was running against Ann Richards. You remember Ann Richards, right?
Mm. I do. Randy Galloway, the great Randy Galloway, once suggested to George W. Bush, who was the owner of the Rangers and knew that he was a political opponent of Ann Richards, when George said, what should we name the ballpark? And Randy said, Ann Richards Field.
Okay, there you go. So somehow I'm in conversation with Jerry about, because he knew Clayton Williams from Arkansas or something, and then he had Ann Richards out at a practice at St. Ed's in Austin, and he revealed to me that he did indeed make a political donation to Ann Richards. I'm like, wow, you're a Democrat, huh? He said, no, I made the exact same contribution to Clayton Williams. The point being, I'm a billionaire. I need these governors on my side, so I support them both. I support all the presidents. I support all the governors. I support all the mayors. So the NFL got its way. Well, the NBA issued its statement yesterday. Hey, we're going to look at some new protocols, but we're playing. So, you know, if the Mavericks don't have their eight guys, the Mavericks won't be playing. But as a league, they're basically saying, hey, you guys, quit high-fiving people on the other team, will you please? And otherwise, let's plow forward. So it turns out that the billionaires that own NBA teams are kind of the same as the billionaires that own NFL teams.
Now, we know on a lot of protocols, well, at least looking at it from the NFL standpoint, that you have a certain amount of days, and you just mentioned on how the NBA is going to look at it again. Well, I mean, if you've got guys that were out, you know, starting yesterday, that's going to take you through the weekend. I mean, how long are they going to be required to be out to where you're not going to have the minimum amount, which is eight players, enough to play in a game?
Yeah, and again, if Dr. Fauci doesn't have the exact answer, how's Casey Smith supposed to have it? How's a commissioner or a lawyer or an owner or a player supposed to have it? So, Will, you're asking good questions, but I don't have answers. I don't know that they have answers. Mm-hmm. And when they come up with their answer, it's just going to be a guess. The same way this whole process has been a guess now for going on a year.
So you don't think there's a point where the league this week, you know, three, four more teams, that they would just say, guys, we're taking a week off?
Well, I don't know what the line, the threshold is. What's the pain threshold? Hey, we can take two games off. We can afford to lose that much money. Hey, a couple guys got sick. We're going to lose that much money. You really want to take 15 games off and lose that much money? Or let's do it for two nights and lose 30 games. I just instinctively don't think that's the way billionaires operate.
Let's move our attention to the Cowboys, shall we? Mike Fisher joining us here at Fish Sports on Twitter, our dual insider with the Mavericks and the Cowboys, and 105.3 The Fan. So it's Dan Quinn. We talked yesterday on how it might be a good idea to get the input of a number of different people, but once again, and Choppy pointed this out earlier, they're not quick to fire you, but they are sure quick to hire you.
Yeah, and there's kind of a mixed bag here, because then at the same time, we know about Jerry and his tendency to, you know, go with deadlines, make deals. I mean, they haven't been very quick to hire Dak Prescott, and it took him a long time to not hire Dez Bryant, and that kind of thing. But I would say this about the net that was cast. They interviewed four guys instead of two. So that they interviewed twice as many guys as they did a year ago.
Look at that. All right.
That's the start.
Improvement.
And then there's this. Had this just been, and we might never know this for sure, but here's an educated guess. Had this just been Mike McCarthy operating completely unilaterally, I don't know that he would have gotten around to Dan Quinn. I think he would have hired Joe Witt Jr. and called it a day.
Really?
And Joe Witt, because I think, first of all, Joe Witt Jr. was his number one candidate a year ago, before he for whatever reason, before he turned to Mike Nolan. He'd been with him for 10 years in Green Bay. It didn't go very well last year in Atlanta, but again, he's a guy with credentials. He's got way more teaching experience than the people they put in the secondary here last year. So Joe Witt Jr. might have been one interview and that's it. Now, the wrinkle with Joe Witt Jr. is, I believe he's still under contract in Atlanta. Mm. And this is why you're going to wait on Witt, I think. If the Cowboys want him to come here as Quinn's top assistant, and I believe they do, then they're going to have to wait until Atlanta is no longer employing him, meaning Atlanta has got to hire a new head coach and have it not be Raheem Morris, and then Joe Witt would be free to go. I think that's why they did the two interviews, one with Joe Witt and then two with all due respect to Jason Simmons. Jason Simmons, I think, would be the backup plan. But that's the weight there. But would you guys agree that, I mean, Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy have no history. There's no Venn diagram circles crossing there. And so at least Coach went a little bit outside his comfort zone and didn't just say, well, either give me Joe Witt or Jason Simmons, because I've worked with them for 10 years. He went with somebody that he hasn't worked with. And a great part of this logic is, now just go back to the defense you had last year. Because this kills me about football coaches. People who think the 3-4 is better than the 4-3. Why is it better? Or people who think the 4-3 is better than the 3-4. Why is it better?
Everyone has a preference. Like the Joneses, I remember when Parcells came here, they didn't want him to move to a 3-4. They're like, we're a 4-3 franchise. Like they kind of had that, you know, and And he finally changed it, and it was fine. And Phillips comes in here and changes it, you know, keeps it, you know, makes a little bit of, you know, changes, makes it the Phillips 3-4 of the Parcells. But, you know, they were kind of hesitant back then to do it.
If you have, if you had the Rams cornerback and the Rams defensive tackle on your team, would it matter whether you played a 3-4 or a 4-3?
Well, I mean, the secondary doesn't necessarily matter either way. But for sure, absolutely. I mean, I would. I mean, you know, you give me Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, I'll play whatever defense you want.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You want to play DeMarcus Ware at linebacker or defensive end? What difference does it make? But this, and that's my not very X-y and O-y view. I just think you give me good players. You know, if Lawrence Taylor's on my team and we're playing a 4-3, we're going to be pretty good. If Lawrence Taylor's on my team, we're playing a 3-4, we're going to be pretty good. So I think coaches get caught up in what they like, and definitely this staff did this last year, got caught up with what they want to teach instead of getting caught up in what the players are capable of doing and capable of learning. If you're playing, to me, too much 3-4 does not make Tank Lawrence the best player he can be. And since Tank Lawrence is your best player, maybe that was the wrong way to play defense.
Fish, naturally, because Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator with the Legion of Boom in Seattle, and in order to play this 4-3 with the, you know, cover 3 on the back end, that you need a strong safety to do that, Earl Thomas's name is going to be and has been invoked. Has there been any rumblings about that at the Star?
It's funny that you say that. I was just sitting down this morning at 5 a.m., and I'm starting to kind of pound that out. I've thought, well, first of all, let's talk about the realities of Earl Thomas over the course of the years. He comes in the Cowboys locker room in December of 2017, and everybody thinks it's cute. On draft day, draft weekend 2018, the Cowboys made a trade offer for him. They had earmarked the number 50 overall pick. And when Seattle didn't really respond, the Cowboys went ahead and drafted Connor Williams. Now, that's 2 years ago, but it's still significant when people say, oh, why would you ever want that guy? Well, 2 years ago, they were going to give the 50th overall pick for him. Then comes the spring of 2019, and the Cowboys are absolutely interested in Earl Thomas, and then Baltimore gives him $1 trillion, and that was the end of that. And then comes the exploration post-Baltimore when the Cowboys are doing their research on Earl Thomas and realizing, no, there's some problems there. There's some issues there, some of which we won't get into here for reasons that I hope the Tolo understands.
And I think the league figured that out too, being that he didn't really, you know, do anything.
Correct. Now, for me, a reclamation project with major problems, for me, there's a way to sign him, and if in a week he disappears, then you unsign him. I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't want to play anymore, or maybe he would still demand $1 trillion. But, you know, you signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and made him the starter on a Tuesday, and then 6 days later cut him. So I don't know why you can't sign a guy and cut a guy. But having said all that, there's no indication that Earl Thomas's problems, which are personal and deep and sad and unfortunate, that I don't know that those have been cleared up at all. And therefore, I don't know that Dan Quinn waves some magic wand and fixes them all. The Cowboys, as I've said all along, Chop, you and I have had this conversation. I still don't have any idea. I know you did your research and made your phone calls. Earl Thomas is right over there, almost across the street. I think the Cowboys owe it to themselves to go have dinner with Earl Thomas and find out face-to-face for themselves, boy, oh boy, that guy has lost it. And I don't just mean on the field. I mean, in other ways, maybe he has lost it on the field, but there's only one real way to find out where his head is at. And that is to sit down at a table with him and have a conversation. And I think the Cowboys are doing themselves a disservice. Dan Quinn, regardless of Dan Quinn, I think the Cowboys are doing themselves a disservice to not go spend 2 hours talking with Earl Thomas.
He's also about to be 32. That's another reason why I wouldn't take him, but you know, he could be a week two candidate. You know, after you sign him after week one, where his contract's not guaranteed for the year,
that's fine. And again, you could also structure things where it's $1 million, which is nothing. He may say no to all that. You know, you would know early on because you'd have Wednesday practice and everybody'd be going, "Where's Earl?" And then somebody say, oh, he's at the car wash. Then everybody chuckles sadly. And then you'd cut Earl Thomas. So this isn't a prediction because I haven't talked to anybody. What I mean, it's only 7:30 in the morning. Let's give ourselves a everybody a break here. But I think it's an absolutely valid thing for the Cowboys to explore. So, yes, Will, we will explore it too.
And, hey, what's the big difference right now between he and Alden Smith? He doesn't have a power broker as a sponsor at this point like Jay Glazer. So we'll see how that thing turns out.
Well, and he could have a sponsor in Dan Quinn, in theory, just like he surely had a sponsor in Chris Richard at one time. And again, the Cowboys made overtures. And Earl Thomas, I mean, here's the thing, Chop. I mean, has he lost it physically in a year? Because the Cowboys liked him a year ago. Or has he lost it in other ways that have nothing to do with football and are going to take him and the people who love him a great deal of work?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would say, you know, the Ravens did okay this year defensively without him.
But he was a starter the year before. On arguably the best defense in football.
Yep.
So it's possible that he fell off a cliff. But see, do you guys agree that all these questions that we're asking are questions that the Cowboys should try to get real answers to?
No question. And he's working out right now with Jeremy Hills. He has been over the course of the last year down in Austin, his former Texas teammate that works out NFL athletes in Austin. So, hey, at least he has been working. He hasn't, you know, he's not in a, you know, a gutter somewhere or somewhere nobody can find him. So you do have that. You got to figure it out. Fish, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.